Equine and Sass Nation, before we get started on this week's news show, I just wanted to let you guys know I wrote a book. Did you hear? I did. I wrote a novel called The Secret Life of Lies, and it's dropping tomorrow. And you can get the digital version of The Secret Life of Lies everywhere books are sold. You can go to Barnes & Noble, you can go to iBook, you can go to Kobo, Amazon, Smashwords, it's everywhere. And get yourself a copy. Or if you're old school and you want the paperback version, you can pick it up at Amazon.com, or it is also in limited release at Barnes & Noble locations in the Chicago area and at libraries nationwide. So thank you, everybody, for your support. Be sure to get a copy of The Secret Life of Lies tomorrow, and I really hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed telling the story. So thank you guys so much. Be sure to get a copy of The Secret Life of Lies, and let's get on with this show.
Come for the wine and stay for the sass. It's time for Wine and Sass with your hosts, Crispy and Jen.
Yes, heels high, aces to the sky, ride or die. We are here in Hooker Studios. It's Wednesday night. Raise them glasses. Let's get this party started.
I'm trying to raise my glass, but I do not like the wine I'm drinking, so I'm choking it down.
You know, I'm with the old reliable Yellowtail tonight. It was delivered to me by a man. And
by a young man.
By a young man. Shut up. I have been forbidden to ever speak of him again on the radio.
I don't blame you. You dedicated a whole song to him. You might as well just hold up a boombox outside his window and called it a day.
Oh, Lord. I'm a dork.
Your eyes. Jesus. Well, I've had this bottle for like a week, and which is a long time for me. And it was only half full for a week because I drank like a glass of it, and I was like, eh. But I had a couple of glasses of something else, so I wasn't really like, when you've had a couple of glasses, you don't realize the horrendousness of something until it's your first glass. So then I poured another glass the next day, and I was like, eh,
yeah.
I don't like this. And so I left it in the refrigerator for a week, but now I've run out of all my normal wines that I drink, and I'm like, well...
That was like Cheap Wine Wednesday that's debuting this week. I got a Sauvignon Blanc that hurt me on the inside. Like, and the boyfriend makes a cameo in that video, by the way. Because he's hiding.
And, like, you can see him?
No, you can hear him, though, because he's hiding around the corner laughing at me.
How do you handle that when you get a wine that you don't like and you have to review it?
And I'm like, well, you'll see. You on the video.
I guess we won't be getting a wine sponsorship from them.
Oh, man. No, I couldn't. And then you can hear him giggling downstairs. And I'm like, shut up. And he's like, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. When I was thinking about this, when I was reading the back of this bottle, because it looks like a really cool name, and it's got a cute little, wine label. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
And then I'm drinking it, and I turn it around, and I'm like, they're, making all these cute little, sayings on it, and they're describing it, and I'm like, who tasted this and said, this is a bestseller right here? It's tastes like a Bartles and James. I'm just like, ugh.
Oh, there was that wine I tried last summer, Sassy Bitch.
Oh, I remember you telling me
that. And it was like Boone's Farm. It was horrible. Yeah. I felt like I needed to pour it over ice in a plastic cup or something. Ugh.
Yeah, this was a flat Bartles and James right here. Just like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about Sauvignon Blanc that tricks you is that you think it's a nice Chardonnay when you first taste it, and then it becomes salad vinegar all the way down, and you're like, no, this isn't happening.
So. Yeah, well, I had a friend bring me over a bottle of wine, and I'm more than sure it was like, probably given to her, and she doesn't drink really. Every time she orders a drink, I end up drinking it. That's like our running joke, because I'm like, yay, you're coming, because you'll buy me a drink. So she pretty much buys a drink, it sits there, and I end up drinking it. And so I know she doesn't drink. So I'm sure somebody brought this over to her, and she has no idea about any kind of wine or anything. And she brought it over to our house, and I was like, oh, thank you. And I look at it, and I'm like, oh, thank you. It's like, you know, a $4 bottle of wine.
Nice.
I was like, I'll be making this with a sangria or something. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Anyway, love you, girl. Sorry for this thing, but yeah, it was a shitty bottle. But it's still in the fridge, and it's also Pinot Grigio, which I freaking hate Pinot Grigio.
You
it's like drinking apple juice.
Oh, I love this. My fave is Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, no. Well, hey, I'll send it to you then.
Okay, cool. Ugh.
And it's made, I'll tell you later. I don't want to rip on anybody in case they're listening and want to sponsor us. And otherwise, I love it.
I love it. You know that Sauvignon that made me gag on video? I still finished the bottle, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. We ain't wasting wine here.
So if you would like to sponsor the show, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it would be actually kind of funny watching us choke it down. It was, with smiles on our face.
Let me tell you, when it goes live, you're going to laugh your ass off. Because the boyfriend's like, that is seriously the best one you've ever done because it was hilarious.
That's great. Those are the fun ones when you get one that you don't like and you're like,
I didn't know what to do. Like, I thought I was going to spit it all over my camera. I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Was it the first time you tried it? Like,
yes. Well, that's the whole thing with the Cheap Wine Wednesday videos. They're wines I've never tried before. So
I didn't know if you actually, like, had never taken a sip of it, like, sitting down.
I try to find a wine that I've never, ever, ever had before. And I uncork it on camera and I do the first drink. So I'm like, oh God, what do I do? I can't vacate this.
I never knew wine could taste this bad.
But it tricked you. It tricked you. Like, it was good, and then it was like, oh no, oh no.
Nice.
But I don't think it was the wine's fault. I think it's just, I just don't like Sauvignon Blanc. Because I did the same thing with the cake bread Sauvignon, and I was kind of like, ugh.
So. Ew, no, girl. No, you got to get the Chardonnay.
I know.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I did notice on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last week that they were drinking silver at Yolanda's party. I was like, that's right, girls.
Were they really?
Yeah, they had all these bottles of silver wine on the table. And I was like, that's right.
That's what I took to Brandy for her gift last year for her housewarming party. And that's the first time she'd ever seen it. I'm a trendsetter.
Well, she didn't bring silver to the party because they showed her walking in with
Yolanda, and Yolanda knows now it's all from me.
Look what you did. Yes, you are a trendsetter, Christy. Bow down, bitches.
That's right. That's right.
What a crazy ass.
Don't you be doubting my wine skills.
Girl, no, no. You know what? You actually, because I didn't drink wine until I was like 25 years old. I hated alcohol in general. And then I got into wine because I joined a Wine of the Month club, and they opened a winery, like a wine store across the street from my house that had tastings. And then I got into wine. But I just freaking love Yellowtail. But you helped me up my game.
Well, look at me.
I know.
Paying it forward.
I know.
I'm glad I could do that for the wine. I'm glad I could help the wine industry like that.
Yeah. If only you could help with all the rest of our problems in the world.
If only we could help the starving children of the world as much as we've helped the
wine
industry.
Dude, what is going on in the world? Like, I know Mercury's not in retrograde, but it seems like, I don't know, like, I feel like there's been a shift in the universe. Like,
I'm pretty sure the world's ending at this point.
I am not a person that is just like, fuck all y'all, I'm gonna troll you hard, but that's exactly how I am right now. Like, I got my hackles up, I am all badass, I am more aggressive than I ever am, and
it's because you got a lot of shit under your belt, so you've got, like, you got your fighting weight, you know? You're like, yeah, that's
well,
right.
Well, I mean, I had to have a ridiculous conversation with the boyfriend's 65-year-old aunt about tagging me in pictures. And after I had this conversation with her, because she had tagged me in the big family picture, and I didn't even see it before the man went in and untagged me, and he tried to explain to her why it's not okay to tag me because of the crazy people and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, just all the crazy and the people in the world. Okay. Not just one certain crazy person, but
the crazy people in the world. And that it's just, and for his, because he has had issues in the past with the crazy people and a different subsect of crazy people
in his life. Yeah, there's lots of sectors of crazy people in this world.
And that conversation, because she truly didn't understand, she was like, are you guys famous? You know, and he's, and he's like, no. And then she's like, so people who don't like you watch your every move, but they don't like you?
Pretty much.
Because she thought that she had done something wrong in tagging me. It was terrible. And then I got so angry after having that conversation. I'm like, that is the most ridiculous conversation to have with a woman who doesn't understand. I was like, fuck all y'all. I'm trolling all of you. Mm-hmm. Unblock the ex. Like away, baby.
Yep. And he is. He Boy, sure. is he. LinkedIn, everything. I'm like, Jesus, dude. I have to be witness to this. And I have a very weak stomach.
I was like, fuck it. I'm trolling all of you. I liked, like, a BDSM transgender sex actor. I'm like, check, like, what now?
Hey.
I'm trolling all y'all.
I'm sure his aunt will love that. Oh, look at who she, who's this young man? Oh, woman. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I just, at this point, I'm just like, fuck everything. Because you know what? It doesn't even matter. You know?
Are we allowed to say that word again? Yay!
Yes. Yeah, why not?
Oh, they don't? Okay, no. Good. I'm like, oh, God, thanks for reminding me about that, by the way. Now I'm just going to go crawl in a hole and rock back and forth and cry in terror.
No. I was just
hi,
I mean, and I know that you're yeah. kind of going through that a bit too. I mean, you had somebody just like walk off the job at lunchtime yesterday.
Oh my God. You want me to tell that story?
Yes. Yeah.
Went to lunch with a girl who's a friend of mine, but I work with her, and she's going through a lot of relationship problems, like we all usually are at some point. And you know, finally got away from this guy, and then of course he moves to Florida, and now she wants to follow him, and she just wants to go now. And I'm like, girl, do not do that. Do not quit your job. You just bought a new car. You guys already have enough problems you're facing, and if you just quit your job and head to Florida without a job, without any kind of financial backup, you think your problems are just going to magically disappear? They're going to double or triple, you know. It's true. I give them 2 months. So we're sitting there eating, and I'm talking for an hour trying to like explain this to her. And she's like, okay. I sit down because we leave separately because we don't want people at work to know that we hang out, because that just, it's a small company and they're all nosy. I'm just not interested in people knowing who I hang out with. And for these types of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And sit down at my desk. And I get a text from her like 20 minutes later, and she's like, thanks for the talk, but I'm going to go ahead and leave. And I'm like, what? Yeah, she left. She didn't come back from lunch. I'm like, was this planned the whole time? And you just, and I've sit there and talked my head off for like an hour. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Well, if you were my friend, you'd support this. I'm like, well, if you were my friend, you would have saved me.
I mean, now you got to do her job, right?
Huh?
Because you work for a small company, so you're going to have to do her job.
Oh, dude, we're already 2 people short. So now we're 3 people short.
The hell?
I'm like, if you were my friend, you wouldn't have left me high and dry, you know, picking up the rear for you.
If he wants you now, girl, he'll want you in 2 weeks. Just chill.
Huh?
I thought, like, if he wants her now, he'll want her in 2 weeks.
That's what I told her. I'm like, what's the big deal? Dude, put your resume together. Start applying for some jobs. And when you get a job, go down there. What's the rush? If he loves you and you guys are soulmates, he'll still be there in a month, you know? But a little did I know that this was our last conversation, and that she's listening to all this with every intention of not even going back to work. She came in, she picked up her W-9 or whatever the fuck it is, and never came back.
So she's gonna get that fat tax return. All right.
And I'm sitting in my office, and I can hear them all out on the floor going, where's Mike? Do I tell them she's not coming back? Because I don't want them to pull me into this.
Right.
You know? They don't even know we're, like, really good friends. And so I'm just like, what do I do? So I finally just went to my direct boss, who I have a really good relationship with, and told him, look, here's the deal. He's the owner. And I was like, look, here's the deal. I got this text. And he's like, what? Well, then I find out he advanced her money to buy a car.
Jesus.
And she, of course, he's like, well, the next time you talk to her, ask her if she's going to write me a check for that advancement I gave her. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Now you're in the middle.
I haven't said anything. Yeah. You know?
Man. Do people still do that? Bosses still write you checks for cars? Shit.
They usually don't. But these guys are, they're nice. I mean, they're...
Shit, I'm about to pack my bags and head to Atlanta. What they need done?
What sucks is that they pull the reins on a lot of stuff because they've been burned so many times with people. And now, and people like me who actually come in and do our job and want to just do our job and get punished for that, you know? Yeah. And so now here's just another example of them getting burned by somebody. And I mean, I think they give as good as they get though. I mean, they're no saint.
They didn't deserve having somebody walk off their lunch hour.
No.
At McDonald's. You work for an IT firm.
And the worst part about it is he was more concerned about her than he was about her leaving her job. Like, he was like, she didn't go back to that guy. And I was like, looked at him, I didn't know what he knew any of this. And I was like, yeah. He's like, the one in Florida? I was like, how did she know all of this?
She's having lunch with everybody.
Yeah, I was like, he's like, oh, no, that's horrible.
Don't worry.
I'm just going to go back to my office and work now. Yeah. I do not want to be involved in this.
When she's working at IHOP in St. Petersburg, Florida, wondering where her life went wrong. I think that moment.
I was like, I hope I am wrong, but I 100%. Well, how the hell is she going to get a reference?
I mean, how
she's not.
She's going to call the, oh yeah, she, I mean, what grow, okay, now if you're working, like if you're 17 and you're working at the McDonald's and you don't like your manager, yeah, walk off your job on your lunch break. That's what kids do.
Yeah.
This woman is a grown woman, right?
Yeah. And the weird part about it is she has a master's degree in forensic science.
Damn.
And she's a personal assistant to a sales team. Oh my God. What are you doing? Go forensic things. Go be... You know, whatever you are, a scientist or whatever the hell.
Like, why is she working there?
I don't know. Well, that tells you something. But it sounds pretty good.
I mean, that tells you something. If she's working in something that's totally not her field, then she obviously has a commitment issue.
She must
have
a record or something. I don't know.
Hey, you shut your mouth.
There's nothing wrong with records until you want to walk in and work for the federal government as a forensic scientist. Then they'd probably be like, yeah, no.
Although, I don't know.
Has, like, a DUI or something. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying that she does, but I'm just saying that, it's just weird that, why wouldn't you be taking
She could be talking about her forensic science degree at the IHOP in St. Petersburg off the 22 highway.
They'll be like, what do you mean she didn't bring you your pancakes? She just walked off. She's got a master's in forensics.
Yeah. It's a smart girl working at this IHOP.
Oh, God. I don't know. And then her guy is just, dude, you want to hear a more insane story?
Did he steal her coffee pot? That's all I want to know.
No, but it's even crazier.
Okay. Ooh, I like it. Crazier
and
than
I'm
me.
Involved.
Let
Are
me pull up
this?
A chair. I love it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
you just put your elbow on that counter and put it under your chin and listen.
Oh,
listen
girl.
So I used to hang out with her and her boyfriend. And, you know, we used to all go out and do stuff before I had anybody in my life. And, you know, we'd all go out and have a good time. We'd come back to my house and all hang out. And I don't even know what was going on, but they were staying. She has a roommate. Well, they decided that they didn't want to stay over there that night and they were going to stay at my house. The kids weren't there that week. So I was like, that's fine. And we're sitting there you got to blop that out.
Okay.
She's like, I'm going to go to bed. And I'm like, good night and good night. And I'm like, well, I'm going to wrap up as soon as I'm done with my drink. I'm going to go to bed. And him and I were just sitting there chit-chatting. And all of a sudden, because I'm sitting at my bar. Stop. Somebody's messing with me because he knows the story. I'm sitting at the bar and I've got my feet propped up on the bar stool next to me. He picks up my foot.
No, he did not lick your
toe. In his...
No, I'm dead. Deceased.
Yes.
No, gone.
Yes.
Oh my God, my reflex would kick in. I would kick him in the eye.
You know how I feel about feet. I was like, Oh my God.
I just died on the spot.
Do that.
I'm not sure I'm going to be okay after hearing this story.
Dude. And she's going back to that because she knows. I told her he did that.
Dude, girl, yes. I need to hit this girl.
She's insane.
Obviously, she didn't forensic science her own brain.
He's done so much more than that as well, but yes, that is one of the things. I'm going to go to bed now. And I started walking back towards the back of my house, and then I stopped and I said, and I'm going to go get in bed with, blocking that out. I'm going to go to bed with her because I don't want you crawling into my bed with me in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Ugh. What's poking me in the back? Stop.
So gross. Oh. So
I know, because now I'm like, I'm playing it both ways in my head. I'm imagining my man doing that to you, and then I'm imagining your man doing it to me, and no scenario is okay.
Oh, girl. What do you think would happen if I found out that my man put your toe in his mouth? What do you think would happen?
You would cut his head off, because it's nasty.
He would have a tongue.
I would just stand there silently horrified.
Gross. And he was making it very clear that he, you know, he was like, I find you so attractive. And I mean, he was totally hitting on me.
Well, I would give a half a pass to that because when guys are inebriated, they get super flirty. They get worse than chicks. I mean, that's when the back rubs come out and they could be sitting next to their
wife.
I,
you know what? I've been drunk around guys.
No, 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 no. I'm okay with that. But you stick your, you put my toe in your mouth? Damn. Good thing it was you and not me. I don't have toenails.
Oh, God. Oh, I just gagged.
Because of all the marathon running, ain't no toenails. Oh, man, what if he saw that and then died?
Well, clearly he's got a weird foot fetish, because who could, I mean, you would have to. So you probably think that was sexy. You'd be like, can I make love to your foot, girl?
Oh, my God, no, now I'm dying. Stop. I just put my head in my sweatshirt. I can't. No, because, okay, the big thing in running, like, I take on Instagram is take pictures of your shoes, because that's how you get shoes sent to you for free. Mm-hmm. So I get foot fetish guys that follow
me.
What?
Excuse me?
Hmm.
I can get shoes sent to me for free?
Oh, girl, you don't know how to work your Instagram. No, okay, let me teach you about Instagram like you taught me about Pinterest.
Okay.
If there is something you ride or die love.
Yes,
love
yes.
it long time, and you have a decent following, and I'm not talking like gajillions of followers. If you have more than like 200 followers, and you talk about how much you love something, and you tag that product, and you do it infinity times a week, they will send you that product. They will make you an ambassador.
All right, Sam Endelman, you get ready.
I know it works that way in fitness. I know it works that way in fitness. I don't know
what
if it works that
heels?
Way. I don't know. I just know that I have been a ride or die Mizuno running shoe girl for 2.5 years, and I have loved Mizuno and talked about how much I love Mizuno, and then all of a sudden Mizuno started showing up at my house. So that's why I take so many pictures of my shoes on Instagram. But I get foot fetish guys every day. Hey, can I ask you a question? Hey. I quit taking pictures of me wearing my boots because I have a boot collection that would make anybody cry. And I have been taking, I love my boots. I have outrageously awesome boots, but I won't put them, the last boot picture I took brought the creeps out of the woodwork. Like, girl, And I was like, oh God, no, I do not want foot creeps following me. I can't even clip my own toenails when I have toenails without closing my eyes. I'm so grossed out by feet. So foot fetish dudes, nuh-uh.
Okay, like, on the scale of, like, you know, there's the people that like to be peed on. There's the people, like, all these different fetishes that I find strange. Like, the foot fet, the toe sucking, that is the ultimate, like,
yes.
the most disgusting thing I can possibly imagine. Like, at least pee is sterile.
Yes.
And warm. You
yes.
know, so okay, it's gross, but
I once had a hooker, an actual hooker, tell me a story about a sugar daddy of hers that would want her to do it in his mouth, and he would take it all in one swallow and call
pee?
It his, yes, and call it his sweet tea, and then give her $500, and I was like, and then you're like, at first you're horrified, and you're like, wait a minute, so all I gotta do is find an old man that wants me to pee in his mouth, and I get $500?
Well, you know what? I was seriously contemplating this. I had a neighbor friend of mine come to me after a holiday party she had, and she's like, I have a friend who from college, who she'd been friends with forever, ask me if you would be willing to spank him for $600. And I was like, wait, what? She's like, yeah, so he just wants you to spank him. It's not, like, no sex or anything else. And I was married at the time. We, like, legitimately talked about
it. Yeah, like, bae, you want a new refrigerator? Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I can pay half of a pound right here, $600 to spank
him. We don't ever have to talk about it. Just gong.
He wouldn't have been just one time. It would have been, like, a reoccurring gig.
Oh, damn, girl, you don't even have to work.
I don't even know what happened with that. I can't remember what I said.
One of your friends has that gig and she's not talking about it.
She's a psychologist. She's so, like, very proper and prim. So even having that conversation was the most surreal thing. She's like, so...
Well, she's, like, rubbing the crucifix on her neck. She's like, so I have this friend.
She's got, like, these pearls around her neck with, like, a little cowl neck sweater. We're at the bus stop, and she's a therapist, this beautiful, like, Jewish therapist, and it's a Jewish, you know, she went to all Jewish college, and her friend, this guy who's Jewish, he wants to be spanked, like, once a month or something for $600.
What made her comfortable telling you that?
Just because... She had to give the background of who this guy was. I mean, she's married. She has two kids. She knows this guy who wants to be spanked. She had to kind of explain the background to that.
Yeah, but who was like, you know who I can tell this story to? I can tell it to Christy. Girl.
No, because he wanted me to spank him.
Oh.
He saw me at her holiday party.
He like picked you. Oh my God. Some people.
Yeah,
like, so
it was
he's like
a decent proposal.
So, like, hey, you know that redhead? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, oh my God, how do you even open up about that? Like, who do you just walk up to at a holiday?
I think she already knew he had some sort of weird fun. I mean, she's a psychologist.
Because I was just at a holiday party a couple of weeks ago, and I can't even imagine in that room full of people somebody walking up and being like, hey, the blonde over there with the sour look on her face, how much to have her spank me?
I mean, yeah, it was, and she was even talking about, like, the time, amount of time that I would be there, and... It was really
dude's pimp. She just said she was a therapist.
Oh, you could tell she was so uncomfortable and so embarrassed.
No, I bet she's like an Atlanta madam. I bet she's gonna be in the paper one day.
Oh my God, that would be so weird. Her husband just ran a marathon, so I mean,
so it doesn't mean they're good people.
Yes, it does. I'm just
kidding. Jesus.
To be a therapist, I think you have to be like. One with the people.
Yes.
With the people you're treating. Like,
I do excel.
Fucked up as everybody.
In my psychological studies, I have to say that cray no cray. And yeah. I can spot cray because, you know, girl.
So. Well, let me tell you, as long as I've known you and we've had conversations, you've always nailed any person that you've ever heard about or met.
Yep.
Not nailed in the sense of...
No, yeah, we know I ain't nailing nothing.
Diagnosis. Yeah, Miss Puritan over there is not nailing anything. Yeah. Well, maybe not. Maybe, I mean, never mind. We're not
once a week, that. Whether nope. I need it or not. But,
no, we can't talk about that.
No, I know.
Shut
up. No, I have to cut that out because.
You can't know he has that?
No, because it's such an identifier.
I'm sure more than one person in the world wears that.
Well. In the next segment, I am allowed to talk about something I discovered about him this week that is horrifying.
Oh, he actually has, like, blocked certain segments. Okay, so this segment, no. Next segment, yes.
You can't motherfuck my assistant on the air half hour while the entire...
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, and, you know, you can't devote an entire show.
And did.
And he's like, I got creeps all back and off, girl. So, he's very, very good-natured about it, and he just loves that I have allowed the ex back because he finds it hilarious.
Oh, my God. He's going to find it hilarious until one morning he wakes up and all his mixing bowls are gone, and there's
no way to make coffee.
Poison in his orange juice. He's going to really wonder what's going on there.
Oh, it's fun. I just love, you know what? I'm just like aces of the sky. You know what? We celebrated hard last night. Like, I'm still feeling it because I got a feature in a pretty major Chicago magazine that's going to be out in March for the book. I wrote a book, by the way. A book. An actual book.
Wait, what? You wrote a book?
I wrote a book, believe it or not.
Oh, so you're ready to talk about that instead of...
You just said his name, you asshole.
Parker Lewis, I mean. Well, that's... I don't know. I get them all confused.
The editing in this first
Bartles and James.
This editing in the first segment is going to kill me tomorrow. All right, yes. Well, we're gonna take a break so I can smack the shit out of Christy.
Oh, whatever.
And then when we come back, we will talk about my new book coming out tomorrow. Damn. And we'll talk about what my better half does when he has to do his job, and it is very...
I thought you were talking about me.
You are my better half. Whatever.
I want to tell you also what I was busy doing all last night, and yes. It's very important.
Okay. Well, then we will cover both topics. All right.
Sweet.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
WineTasting.com has exclusive offers just for Wine and Sass listeners, including Wine of the Month Club starting at just $55 a month, as well as a huge array of wines of almost any vintage. To take advantage of these offers, head to WineAndSass.com and click on the WineTasting.com banner. Cheers.
One more click.
You're horrible. Welcome back to Wine and Sass. All right. Tell us what you were doing last night, Christy.
So last night, I probably spent a good 3 hours, and it was important work. And I took all the list of people in my favorites, you know, on your iPhone where you have favorites that you call.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of them, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
And I designate a special ringtone to them.
Wow. I don't even know how to change the ringtone on a phone. You'll just show me, because now we have the same phone.
Yes. And so I some of these I thought really hard about, and then some of these I'm like, I don't even know what kind of music they like, so I'm going to just put what I like. And it took me, because I had to go and I had to listen to all the ringtones, because there's this crazy huge site, and I listened to everything that I like or that I think is funny. And yes, and I assigned each person their own ringtone. So when you call, a certain thing plays.
What? Tell me.
Yours, I don't even know if you'll get this, but it's, it made me think of you because one of the main lyrics in the song is, to all you bitch ass hoes that hate me the most, yeah, I hate you too. Okay. So that's what your ringtone is.
Nice.
Not that you hate anybody, but I think it's just funny, like the lyrics.
And oh, so, that's awesome. I love it. It's kind of how I feel right now. You can't really hear anything. It's just a bunch of dead air.
Oh, darn.
That's okay.
So then I did the kid's father, that song, Who Daddy? That's my baby daddy.
Oh, nice. Daddy.
So now I get really excited when he calls.
Sweet. I'm going to have to get all creative with my ringtones.
I was, like, very proud of myself. And then I was, like, hoping people would call me today. And, of course, nobody did. But
damn it.
And then I got Jamie's ringtone as Gold Dust Woman by Fleetwood Mac.
Of course, because she only sang it 29,000 times during karaoke. Hey, Mr. Forever Ever, cue up Gold Dust Woman again.
Yeah, exactly. Cue it up.
I mean, it was nonstop Fleetwood Mac karaoke that night, girl. I mean, I was just like...
so funny. And then Carrie is Anchorman's, you're a smelly pirate hooker.
I could totally see her saying it, too.
Totally. But yeah, so like everybody's is all like
nice.
I was so happy, and then I was like, yay! And then I keep my phone on silent all day, and then nobody even calls, and I'm like, oh, what was I even doing this for? I don't even know. I finally changed my text, because remember, it used to be Vanilla Ice's Yo VIP, because we probably heard that on the show like 20,000 times.
When I could get texts.
I changed it to R2D2.
Oh, jeez.
And then, that's I'm going to change it again, I think. I don't know, because I want to change it to, I don't know if you know this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
Yeah.
But, and then my ringtone is also, because I love Will Ferrell. He's, like, can do no wrong in my book. And Will Ferrell is Robert Goulet. Your phone is ring-a-ling-a-ling.
That's great.
I'm going to change that one. So I'm like, please, people call me. I'm going to, like, put my number out on Facebook and be like, just call me.
Yeah, just call me for the entertainment.
Like, Jen, call me. I want to hear Doses and Mimosas.
Well, speaking of music, I came upon a funny discovery. I am authorized to tell this story, by the way, as long as we don't give any details away. So, my other better half has a job that requires stealth and precision. And I was on Spotify. I listen to Spotify now when I'm on the treadmill. And when I get done, I cruise through other, to get song ideas. Because when you run to the same playlist over and over and over again, it gets stale. So I'm always looking for new music. And I noticed that he's listening to all these, like, freaky slow jams. And I'm like, who are you with?
Are these all your exes and you songs? Yeah, I always wonder that.
I'm like, what's with all, I'm like, we're talking like slow jam, like D'Angelo kind of slow jam. Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on? Because I usually run at like 5:30 at night. I'm like, the hell are you doing right now? It's dinner time. So I texted him. I'm like, what's with all the slow jams? Who are you banging? And he's like, oh, I just had such and such to do. So I'm like, wait a minute. You play these slow jams all the time. So you mean to tell me that you can't do your job unless there's slow jams playing in the background?
And I know what his job is, so that's kind of weird.
I'm so weird. Like, I wanted to, like,
should you, like, light candles and put on some incense?
I'm like, you can't. And I'm not talking like the regular day-to-day kind of part of his job, like the kind where it's like high pressure, gotta get it done now, you gotta, you know, have all your wits about you, make sure shit gets done right. Those intense moments. He cannot do an intense part of his job unless there are slow jams playing.
Well, that calms him and this steadies his hand. He's catching important things, you know.
Girl, I'm gonna rub you.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna spank your butt and make you breathe.
Because some of those, like the D'Angelo song he was listening, and then he listens to, like, Jamie Foxx songs, and I'm like, what is going on? I don't even know you.
Wow.
I'm so creeped out right now. Why don't you just put my foot in your mouth and make it even better? So, yeah, nice. That made things weird. I'm like, oh, great. You're a brilliant person who can't do his job without slow jams in the background.
Hey, let him be great, Jen.
All right, Jesus.
So, let him have his slow jams.
Speaking of being great, so I got a little too toasted last night, and it was a Monday night. Oh, shit. Uh-huh. I'm still feeling it today.
And what does this have to do about your book?
So my book comes out on Thursday, and a whole bunch of Chicago press is happening for it. It's getting reviewed in a lot of places that I'm going to be posting links to throughout the next couple of weeks. Lining up an awesome book tour at the end of February. And several press outlets here in Chicago have been responding to the press release and wanting to do features on me. I got a big one yesterday at like 7 o'clock at night that came over the email. And I was like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
I'm so proud of the book and so proud of the work that went into it and so proud of the story it tells. But I only ever wanted that for me, for other people to enjoy it. It freaks me out a lot. But
well, that's a good book. I read it.
Yay.
So, I like it.
Like it a lot.
I like it a lot. And I hope that this isn't done. There needs to be another part.
Well, I have another book coming out in June, which is will not be a sequel to The Secret Life of Lies. But maybe after that. I'm toying with some ideas. I have some good ideas that I think that I could maybe continue the story with.
I'm going to collaborate. You don't even have to give me any credit.
Well, what I am doing is that, you know, with this whole, you know, dude, I'm just going, 2015 for me is just like going for it. I'm going for it. I've been, since Thanksgiving, like educating myself and sitting in on workshops and going to teleclasses and just educating myself on the craft and everything. And I'm going to start at Second City in March and learn how to write.
Wait, what? You're going to Second City?
I am going to Second City for a...
What?
No, I'm not going to, like, star anything. I'm going, they have a lot of writers roundtables, script writing, that kind of thing.
Oh my God, I would love to do that.
Yeah, and
I swear to God, that is one of the things I would say I missed my calling on is script writing, because I love like thinking of NSL skits and just like funny things to write in a sitcom, or and if anything crazy happens in my life, I'm like, this would be such a great sitcom.
Exactly. And I don't really see, the thing is that I can write articles and blog posts and be funny, but when I'm like in my element and in my craft, I'm writing drama and suspense, and that just seems to be what I'm good at. And
oh,
so,
mine is comedy, totally. Like, I can think of a million hilarious things to write about for a sitcom, totally. Like, just yeah. Anytime I think of something, I think this. Anytime I say, like, I'll say something or I think about something, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that needs to be a Saturday Night Live commercial, or that needs to be a skit, or like, I always think about that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So, I mean, it's just kind of a way for me, because, you know, I just decided balls to the wall. This is my perp. Everybody's born with a gift. And my gift is obviously storytelling on the page. I'm not so good at talking about things, but I'm good at writing things. So, that I'm going for it. I joined the Chicago Writers Association. I joined the union, you know, writing in other mediums, doing other things. So it's like, I'm totally going for it. And just the fact that somebody who's reading the book right now texted me and they're like, I could totally see Don Johnson playing Wilcox. And I'm like, oh my God, I could totally see Don Johnson playing Wilcox in the book. So, you know, taking The Secret Life of Lies and turning it into a script is something that I'm going to be working on, too, and seeing if, because the whole time I was writing, I'm like, this would be a great series on cable. And then that might be the way we continue the story is on TV.
Yeah.
You know, or, I mean, at the Golden Globes, Amazon Studios, and Amazon Studios has a great opportunity for people to pitch projects and everything. They just want a Golden Globe.
Yeah, if they're giving jobs to Woody Allen, then you know you got a chance there.
Well, and their series with Jeffrey Tambor won Golden Globes. So it's like, okay, yeah. Well, independent script writing and independent television is becoming legitimate. So I need to get out there. I need to do this. I mean, this story to me, it's not a literary piece where you're going to be like, oh, Jen's the next Hemingway. You're going to fall in love with the characters and the storyline, and it reads like a television script. So it's like, okay, let's do this. So, yeah, and for that magazine to want to do a feature on me, I mean, I just, like, died. I was like, because at the beginning of the week, I was kind of, I was getting trolled a little bit, and I was like, I'm so sensitive, I felt it for an entire day, and then after that day was over, I was like, fuck all of you. What have you done? I wrote a 211.
Exactly.
I have written a 215-page book. Fuck all y'all. I know this is a good book. Everybody that's read it said this is an amazing book. So,
and that's why we don't talk about them, because they don't mean two shits.
No, because then it's like, oh, I'm going to be doing this radio show. Oh, I'm going to be in this magazine. Oh, I'm getting this book reviewed here. All right. Well, my pain footprint is actually zero, just like you stole my coffee pot and I have one under the sink. So now I'm going to troll you. Now my narrative that you all see that you think you know is going to be all over the place. Have fun with that.
Exactly.
Oh, God, it's awesome.
Yep, and that's the good parts.
And I'll be turning up my slow jams, writing my scripts.
That's right. Or your Iggy work.
Working on my shit.
Walked a mile in these Louboutins.
They don't wear these shoes where I'm from.
That's freaking right. Love.
Okay, so if we could get a little more serious, you know, we had this horrible thing happen in France with the terrorists, and I kind of feel like we, as a society, are perpetuating this by being so decisive and so afraid of offending people. I mean, Iggy Azalea, to bring her up since we did, she gets slammed for, they practically call her using blackface because she raps with a, quote, black scent.
Oh, come on.
And it's like, well, I thought we're supposed to be colorblind. Who cares if a white girl raps with a black scent? I mean, she probably listened to, I mean, I talk with, you know, my little suburban wannabe ghetto accent all the time. Like, girl. Does that mean I'm racist? Because I go, girl. Did I just appropriate a race by saying that? No.
No. It's stupid.
I mean, it's so stupid. I find that it's so stupid. We're perpetuating racism by having Al Sharpton, you know, making everything a race thing. And, you know, you want cops to be sensitive to each race that they're being. Well, that's just not, we're supposed to be just humans. Why do we have to have culturally sensitive things? Don't be an asshole. Don't burn crosses in somebody's yard. Don't kill gay kids. But you're allowed to have a point of view. You're allowed to
speak out in an accent, however you want. And that reminds me of something I saw on my Facebook page the other day, because I'm like, really? Where people think it's offensive if you say thug, like that's a lower class black person. And I'm like, I have never referred to a thug as any race. A thug is a criminal to me. Like, a criminal. Like, you're a thug. They're just thugs.
Yeah. Like, I mean, thugs could
really
be...
like, okay.
Italian guys in the mafia. Thugs could be...
yes.
Mexican guys in a gang.
Breaks the law or...
like, yeah.
Is
a I'm bully. Like,
and it was a black guy, younger guy that posted it. And I was honest. I was like, I've said thug, and I never in a million years attained it to race.
No.
It was always somebody who's not following the law or is starting trouble or, I mean.
The only time I ever equated thug to equals black is when Tupac had it. Was talking about it. It never occurred to me.
I didn't even know Tupac talked about that.
Well, he had the Thug like, Life rocker tattoo on his stomach.
Oh, well, sure. But
so that was
Thug Life to me wasn't because you're black. It was
no,
because
and
you were
Tupac
a
was
thug,
the biggest poser out there. Dude was a ballet dancer. I mean, whatever. But yeah, I mean, like, think of that. Speaking of Thug, that book Thug Kitchen, which I thought was brilliant, just got slaughtered on all those horrible websites like Jezebel. I mean, they just shredded it, that it was cultural appropriation. Like, how dare these...
I follow that site, and that was one of the things they brought up on his post. And I'm like, really? Like, it actually is good stuff in there.
No, like... and I thought it was hilarious. It's like, when did it become... I thought we were supposed to be... I mean, I can honestly say that our generation is the first colorblind generation, because we had Sesame Street and they're all different color kids. And,
yeah.
You know, I equate racism to you don't want black people sharing a drinking fountain with you. You know,
yeah.
I understand that there is racial profiling and that is wrong and whatever. But nobody's really, I mean, are there any true racists anymore that are allowed
there
to
are.
Be racist?
There are. But,
in the mainstream,
you know,
though,
I think it goes both ways. I think there are people race. I mean, like, there's that paranoia and racism against whites that, you know, you look at somebody and if they use a certain term, it's going to be. I mean, of course, there are terms that are just absolutely off limits. But
no.
We talk about like thug.
Thug
really?
Is like
never in a million years would I have associated that with a race. It was always.
No.
A behavior.
Well, now I'm second guessing the thug life tattoo on my fingers. I mean,
should not, girl. That'd be good.
Why did I get thug tattooed on my hand?
Isn't it the thug life
I didn't choose the thug life, the thug life chose me.
So does that mean I didn't choose to be black? I mean, really? That's what it's... No.
No.
That doesn't make sense.
No, and you know what?
No, it just makes me mad that we've hit that point, because you're right. We've hit that point in society where, like, what are we just, like, words? Like, we're just going to be hopping around in a circle because we can't walk here, we can't walk there, we can't...
No, that's
so
what I'm
many
saying.
Limitations
exactly.
Of offending somebody's religion or... It's stupid. It's just... wasn't there more peace when people said what they want and they
yes.
weren't afraid of offending people? Because sometimes people get offended. You could say hi to somebody and they're going to get offended. You
right.
know what you can also do? You can just live your life to the capacity that you know, and you're secretly offending people and you don't even know it. So should I just die because I've offended even family members that I was living my life and moving on with myself? Like, you can't live like that. It's
no,
stupid.
You can't. No,
you
and
just
I just
can't please any everybody. It's not
well,
possible.
I think that people have become rage whores. Like, if you notice that, like, especially on social media, people are getting like an adrenaline fix from being outraged about something. Like, there has to be a constant state of outrage in America. And it's like, why are we outraged about this? We should be outraged
it's
about...
It's a justification of the chips on their shoulder. It's like, if you... I mean, you can go anywhere in the world online and justify something that offends you.
Yes, and you will get 1,000 head pats supporting your point of view. So, okay, so then we have bred a whole society of people whose point of view they feel is entitled to be heard, is validated, whether the truth is involved or not. Their point of view is validated, and so they carry on. It's like, no, that's not okay. It's not okay. You know, when did this... I mean, this country was founded on legal, you know, dealing with the law, not morality. They're not here to legislate your morality. If I get one more post on my wall about, quote, family values and Mike Huckabee not wanting the president's kids to listen to Beyonce, I'm moving to Canada. God. Damn. Who care? You know? No one cares. You know, mind your P's and Q's. You know what? If you get pulled over by a police officer, put your hands up. Do what they say, and if they violate your rights, get a good attorney and sue the motherfuckers. Don't sit there and, you know, resist arrest when you got a guy who's jacked up on the fear that he might die on the job today with a firearm strapped to him, and he pumps a clip in your head. Say yes, sir, no, sir, do what he tells you, and when you get your phone call, you make a phone call, and you tell them what happened, and you get... whoever you need to get on the news talking about your injustice. Don't fight the cops. What the hell? How has that ever helped anybody? Never. Ever. And then make it a race issue. It's like, you have to understand. I mean, we have, you know, friends that are in law enforcement. And that is, I mean, there are bad eggs in every job. And there are some dicks in law enforcement. But there are some guys that are genuinely out to help people. And when you go out and you have... you don't know what you're going to encounter. Even in my sleepy little suburban town, I mean, you don't know that car you're going to pull over is going to put a bullet in your head. I mean, just that you have to be jacked up all the time as a law enforcement officer because you don't know if you're going home. And then when you have somebody that is aggressive or resisting or behaving in such a way that you feel, now it's not always justified. There are some missteps, absolutely. But of course, and they're not trained to shoot you in the kneecap and disable you. They're trained to kill you. So,
exactly.
Yes, sir. No, sir. You get put back in the car and then you call your lawyer when you get your phone call, or you call your mama and tell your mama to call a lawyer. You know, fuck. It's like, when did people's common sense, like, my kids are as white as snow and I'm going to tell them, yes, sir. No, sir. Get in the back of the car. And then I'm going to kill you worse than a cop is going to kill you when I get the phone call you've been picked up.
It's because people have, and I think this is for real, legitimate. People now are raised not to to totally, like, go against authority.
Yeah. And authority is stupid. My point of view matters. Yeah. I'm a special snowflake.
Yep.
Absolutely. We have a whole generation full of special snowflake syndrome. Absolutely. Because, I mean, think of it now. I mean, if you came home from school and your teacher called your mom, while you were walking home from school, your mom would kick your ass for not acting right. Now, it's always, well, Tommy is a special snowflake.
What did they do to you?
Yeah. Oh, okay, well, we're going to have a meeting with the teacher and the principal, and we're going to have to talk about our feelings and make sure everybody's being heard. It's like, fucking shut up.
Yep.
Damn. Smack your kids. No. No, now that I've said that, everybody's going to have their point of view. She said, smack yo kids. And she was appropriating black culture by saying yo.
That's so true, though.
She advocates for child abuse and cultural appropriation of urban society.
Something like that.
No, I'm just a dumb white girl in the suburbs. I don't know, Jack. All I know is that even as a dumb girl in the suburbs that never got into trouble as a kid, I was told when I, you know, should I ever get pulled over, yes, sir, no, sir, you don't argue. You take your ticket and you drive away. And so I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in this world. This world seems, you're right, I think it might be ending.
It is.
Holy shit. I mean, just the thing. I mean, if I have to see one more goddamn article on... Oh, there's going to be another group of people that is like, she said goddamn. If I see another article on my feed about fucking thigh gap, I'm going to have a litter of kittens right here on my floor. Freaking thigh gap. Here's the thing about thigh gap. If you don't have the hips for it, you're never going to have a thigh gap. I'm a big girl. I have a thigh gap because you want to know why? I have big ass hips. Jesus.
I do too. I mean, that's what they like, though. I found my significant other. It's the same thing. Every time I'm in my underwear, he's like, look at that thigh gap. I'm like, do you realize how many women are probably so insecure about that? I'm glad I have one naturally, but that is so not like a good.
I would say, it never
talks about it.
Because to me, I'm more self-conscious of my wide hips than I am about being proud of a thigh gap. Like, I'm not in
there.
No, there's,
like, a serious, like, it's a proportion thing. Like, yeah. It's a whole new thing.
No, I know.
And they love it.
But then you got girls that are knock-kneed, who are super real thin, but their thighs will never not touch. It's like, I don't consider it an asset. I consider it like, oh, well, I don't think it's great. I mean, I don't know. Am I supposed to be? And then you see people on Instagram standing with their feet literally 3 feet apart trying to create a thigh gap. It's like, girl, your feet are 3 feet apart. I don't know.
I know. I agree.
And so you're going to have girls that are just not built that way. I mean, it's just like the whole heroin chic thing in the 90s. Who's tickling you? I am trying to get on my soapbox.
Carrie just walked in the door, and you know my cat sitting up on the couch, and she's like, oh, hi, sweetie, and she starts swiping at her, because you know my cat's like the biggest bitch on the planet. She knows exactly what
I
to
am
do
trying
to
get up on my lesbian pulpit of
you
burning
like
bras. Whatever.
Ooh, nice jacket.
Ruined it.
Carrie smells like chicken.
Of course she does. When does Carrie
she
not smell
like
chicken?
Fried chicken.
She's finger-licking good, that
she's
Carrie.
Great. Sorry, I didn't mean it. We're getting ready to go circle the wagons.
That's okay. We got 3 minutes on the show, girl.
Do we still only have? We still have 3 minutes. It seems like we've been talking for like 5 days.
Oh, I'm
not
sorry.
That I don't love talking to you.
I'm sorry.
Like
I'm sorry.
Time.
Your real friend showed up and you don't want to talk to me anymore.
Whatever.
I got it.
That
That's okay.
True.
Good thing
just
I got
like
an extra bottle of wine.
Just like your new partner. Oh, not me. No, the dude now. Oh.
You know what, Christy? I never thought a penis would come between us, but apparently
it has. You never thought a man or a woman would come between us?
I got fried chicken and slow jams.
She smells like fried chicken. So that's better, because then I'm actually not eating it, I'm just smelling it.
I am going to title this show Fried Chicken and Slow Jams just to whip people up.
You totally should.
I'm going to troll the whole internet. Two white girls talking about fried chicken and slow jams. What now, Al Sharpton?
Everybody will love it.
Yeah.
And then we'll be labeled racist.
Oh, damn. We already made fun of people with breast cancer.
Yeah.
What else we got? All right, so... Well, we're going to call it a day. Thank you again
a
for
night,
listening to
a day,
us. On
a day, a week.
Yes. On WLLS Radio. Please join us again next week. Check us out on wineandsass.com. We've got amazing things.
A book club.
A book club. My book comes out on Thursday. You bitches better buy it.
Go
Shit.
Buy it and get on our book club, because we got a books club going on. Hookers Who Read.
Hookers Who Read.
And it's going to be a good club. Are you joining, Carrie? Only if what?
You read smut. I don't want
Well, there's
learn.
No having sex
Girl.
Or fucking. It's just a romance and action.
Girl,
and
I wrote
story.
The best book of
it's,
all time.
No.
It's her book.
Oh, Jen's I thought book. In general. The book.
Whatever.
Yeah, we'll get some good smuts.
Who
yeah,
let Carrie in on the show?
She wants some sex and
Well, then,
S&M
you,
in
then
there.
You're going to have to write a book, Christy. Yeah.
You better cause... get busy. You better get busy, Jen.
All right, I'll work on it.
I'll write that one.
Yeah, you write that one.
You have a seat, girl.
I know, right? I'll just be back here with my slow jams.
Your treadmill and your slow jams, girl. You get that.
Get it.
I got this.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you guys next week. Chris, you say night-night on the show and get us out of here.
Night-night on the show.
All right. Good night, everybody. See you next week.